How do you know you don't like chocolate if you refuse to try it?
Do you like worms?
What?
How do you know if you've never tasted one?
That's from the movie Chocolat. And aren't kids great with their supposed logic? They're thinking it through. And actually, I think I have tasted something similar to worms, and maybe you have too. When my kids order sushi, eel sushi, when it comes in, it sure tastes like I'm eating worms. Anyway, they're yummy. Don't take my word for it. Go out and try them. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. You're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness. I'm a clinical psychologist. You can pick up the phone and call me. My number's toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. That's toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. And that's also our after-hours line. You can call anytime during the week and leave a question on that, and we'll play it on the air. With a goal of thinking for yourself, you want to have an active mind, and this little kid in Chocolat has an active mind. He's thinking, well, I can use that same reasoning about chocolate with worms. And so you want that capacity, of course, is a disanalogy here, because you want to have that wonderful discovery premise, that going out and discovering things, you know, eating worms, trying chocolate, but you want to do it on reasonable things, not unreasonable. So I'll probably get a slew of phone calls from people saying, I ate worms and they're delicious, Ellen, and you should really try them. So let me change the pace now. This is from the woman who is wondering why she still loves a boyfriend who has done a few nasty things to her. See what you think about this one, and see what advice, play psychologist here, see what advice you would give her. What is your gut response? Hi, Dr. Kenner. To make a long, depressing story short, I met this guy 2.5 years ago when I was about 17. Everything was okay at first, until the first time he hit me and I went back to him. So notice your own choice making there. What did you say to yourself that made you go back to him? This is from Lisa. After that, we continued to be on and off for about 2 years. He would threaten my life, my family life, and he's kidnapped me before out of my parents' home. I had lived with him at one time, and within 3 months, he destroyed my whole apartment. In one word, he was abusive mentally, physically, verbally, and financially and emotionally. For 2 years, I still loved him. Now, I notice when people use past tense, notice you say loved him. I still loved him. I have been through so much with him. Now, when people usually say, you know, we've been through so much together, you think, oh, parents have died, or you've struggled through college. But he's been the cause of your problem. So you've been through so much with him because he's the problem. Okay, let's continue here with Lisa's email. He has choked, spit, punched, pushed, kicked, tied up, and even thrown me in the trunk of my car before, my own car before. He is bipolar and he drinks. No excuse for his behavior. I don't let people get off on the bipolar excuse. And there is a book by Corey Newman, Bipolar Disorder, A Cognitive Therapy Approach, that I highly recommend for his therapists if they don't use it already. Actually, let's continue, because he does not have the luxury to just go down the street and go to a therapist, because guess where he is right now? He has been in jail now for the past 6 months. The day he left, I found the spiritual strength to leave him and to look at the whole picture, not just the sunny side. Help me understand what the sunny side was. Maybe the sunny side was the kidnapping.
You always hurt the one you love.
Yeah, I guess so. That's my husband. I am still processing. Is something wrong with me if I still miss and love him after 6 months? I don't want to be abused. But why do I think about him every day? Lisa. Lisa, what you need is some heavy-duty introspection and some therapy. ASAP. You need the self-understanding. You need to do the introspective work to find out why you went back to him even the first time after he hit you, let alone all the other things he's done to you. So you want to look at, did you have a history of abuse in your family? And maybe when you were being abused by dad or mom, that was the only time you were getting attention. So this is a very familiar pattern for you. Is it that he was your first love? You were 17 years old and it was just so painful to have this happen to you. And he came on so hot and heavy and then turned negative, but would periodically punctuate it with the hot and heavy that he totally, you mangled your own mind. You couldn't see straight to the fact that you need to judge a person by their rationality, not by the fact that they occasionally are nice to you. Criminals are often very charismatic. So you need to look at the principles there. Is he rational or not? And imagine this. Can you imagine a prisoner of war being released, or people from the Nazi concentration camps being released and then wanting to go back for more abuse? Now, if they were psychologically very, very damaged, there may be some outliers who would do this, but most people would hate the Nazis for life, hate that whole ideology, and embrace America, embrace individual rights, and embrace their own life and work to achieve their own happiness. So notice, this is not an optional moral issue. This is not optional. He is very, very abusive, and you want to set your own moral compass, your deepest ideas, your deepest premises about yourself, other people, and the world, to be passionate about achieving your own happiness. That's what my show is about, the rational basis of happiness, not the rational basis of being a masochist. There is none. You don't want to be a masochist for life. So self-understanding is a must. So give yourself the benefit of professional help. You can go to the Academy of Cognitive Therapy, academyofct.org, and see if there are any therapists in your neighborhood. The premises you might need to challenge, I'll name a few of them. Premises just means the ideas you hold deep down about yourself. You may be thinking, I'm not worthy, therefore I should stay with this brute. I will settle for any attention. Or you may be thinking, I'm bad and deserve the punishment, or I can change him. If I change him, then I'm a good person. Or he makes life thrilling. Yes, it may be very exciting to be someone who throws you in the trunk, but that's like horror movie excitement. Get into adventurous, heroic excitement. You may be thinking, he would be sunny all the time if only I were a better person or could change him. That's the typical abuse mentality from the victim. You might be thinking he's got an illness, bipolar or alcohol troubled person, and so I've got to be empathic and understanding of him. He's got free will volition. He's like all of us. It's not his fault, you may be thinking. Yes, he does face alternatives. He can focus. He can get the will to change. He can get professional help. You may be thinking, no one will ever love you. Will ever love me. If I let him go, I'll be lonely for life. Think again. Make yourself lovable. You may be thinking, I'm not capable of caring for myself. I need to depend on someone, or I feel fundamentally guilty. You may have the Catholic sin view of the world, and therefore this is your cross to bear, is this awful guy. Get rid of that. Get rid of the Catholicism. You may have a misplaced autonomy. Your parents may hate him because they see the damage he's doing for you, and you're saying, but I'm my own person and I'll date whoever I want. So I throw out a lot of possibilities. You need the therapy, the private time to introspect and to see what's going on inside of you. And you may have some of your own identity issues. Who are you? What do you love in life? You may need to discover who you are and what you love and values. Notice the importance in this example of judging others. You need to, it's not Don't judge and you won't be judged. Judge not and be not judged. But it's judge and prepare to be judged rationally, not from insecurity. But you need to judge other people rationally, and leave them. Act on that. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenny. You're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness. And coming up, we'll talk about a person who just feels she doesn't get along with people, and the complications that has. If you draw that conclusion about yourself, I don't get along with people, how does that mess you up in life? I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on The Rational Basis of Happiness.
When I entered my marriage, I left my true self at the door. Now I don't even know who I am anymore.
My girlfriend doesn't want to make anyone mad. I never know how she truly feels, and I'm clueless when it comes to pleasing her sexually. She won't express what she likes.
How many lose themselves in a romantic relationship, feeling unimportant, taken for granted? Or perhaps they lie or cheat and think their partner should forgive and forget? I am Dr. Ellen Kenner, clinical psychologist and co-author with Dr. Edwin Locke of the romance guidebook, The Selfish Path to Romance. Provocative title? I know. By selfish, we mean the self-valuing, self-nurturing way to romance. You never want to lose yourself in a relationship. You want to create a win-win partnership to value your own and each other's goals and dreams. Discovering how to be true to yourself in a romantic partnership is learnable and key to romantic happiness. Check out our book with its daring title, The Selfish Path to Romance, at Amazon or selfishromance.com.